Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we are getting ready for our Big Brother night two of the season premiere, and we're going to be covering everything that happened with our good buddy Jordan Parhar from Big Brother Canada 3 to talk about the new house guests, the amazing racers that are going to be playing Big Brother, and so much more here tonight on the show. Before we jump into everything in the episode, I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor, and those are our friends over at Mazda, who ask, does driving matter to you? Because there's over 4 million miles of road in the U.S. to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of highways, a lot of freeways, a lot of wrong ways, a lot of long ways. They're all there, waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque, or do you just keep on going? Do you wake up early on Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does? Or do you take the long, winding road home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out there and drive. Why? Because driving matters. Mazda. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the podcaster who's ghetto, gaudy, chic, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to night two of our Big Brother premiere coverage. I'm very excited. I can't wait to talk about the second night of the twistiest season of all time, and we have a very fun panel to talk about it with. Here joining us on the main podcast to talk Big Brother live with us after an episode for the very first time, here he is, of Big Brother Canada and the newly launched show, which is going to be a part of reality TV Rehap-Ups that you're going to hear every Friday on reality TV Rehap-Ups Live. Here is the great Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you?
I'm excellent, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It is always a pleasure. The Jordan That Sucks is back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, Jordan is filling in this week. Usually Ian Terry will be with us live on Thursdays. Ian Terry is out of the country. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's could it be a prelude to a...
Get ready for a takeover!
Oh, Jordan is...
It's a takeover, blindside. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Ian Terry, I'm filling in for Ian. Yeah, that's the story. That's why the poor man's Ian Terry is here. So sorry to disappoint, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully,
Steve is going
to
be with us. Who had?
Yeah, he'll be taking over for me soon. He just heard the BB takeover music, so it's just give him a few minutes. Yes, Steve Moses will be here soon.
Who had Clay as the first person to do a Ian Terry name check this season in their Big Brother pool? Who had that? Not me, I'll tell you. But anyway, Jordan is going to be live Fridays. We're calling this show the Big Brother Rehappy Hour. It's going to be live on our reality TV Rehap-Ups channel. You can see it all on robswebsite.com. That show is going to be tomorrow, the first live one on a Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Very excited for Jordan's weekly Big Brother stuff. Do you know what you're going to talk about tomorrow, Jordan?
Well, the live feeds are going to come on tonight, Rob, so we're probably going to get into that. My guest is going to be the great Johnny Colatrulio from Season 3 of Big Brother Canada. He's a huge super fan, diehard. He's hilarious, great personality. So I'm going to ask him some questions, what he thinks about this season, ask him some personal questions, just about Big Brother in general, stuff like that. Should be a very fun time. So hopefully we'll see you guys there.
Okay, and we know Johnny Mac is going to hate it since you're having two super fans on one Big Brother podcast. We know he hates that. All right. And then joining us every Thursday to talk about the live feeds, he talked about Big Brother Canada with us, and he is back for the main podcast. Every Thursday, we'll check in with Brent Walgamant. Brent, how are you?
Rob, I'm great, and I am so ready for a Jordan takeover.
Yes, we're all ready. We're all ready. So very excited. Welcome back, Brent. Good to talk to you again. And we are all going to be having a lot of coverage coming up. Of course, we'll be back again live on Sunday night to talk about everything that happens. That is going to be the Sunday night show, and we'll have plenty to talk about there with the weekend on the live feeds. But the live feeds are coming back. They're starting off tonight. And so to kick things off, I'm going to do an emergency podcast in the morning. Alex Kidwell is going to join me. We're going to do that's going to be audio only, but try to do like 30 minutes or so just to fill you guys in overnight on the stuff that we're about to learn here in about, 2.5 hours when the Big Brother live feeds come on here on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 midnight on the East Coast. So the live feeds are starting. If you haven't gotten your live feed subscription and you want to jump in, go to robswebsite.com/livefeeds to check it out. And if you want to get in on that Big Brother Live Feed bingo card, go to robswebsite.com/bingo. And I've already been messaged that one of the spaces on Big Brother Bingo this year was UFO. Had no idea that would be such an easy square this year. Made this list last weekend.
Does it count that it was in the HOH comp and not
no,
in the feed
but
drop?
We suspect them, they might be talking about the UFO no quite a bit on the live feeds this
there
year.
You go.
So had no idea UFO in 16 seasons of Big Brother, UFOs never talked about once. And now it was a very UFO themed season. But okay, so we've got so many different things to talk about. Told you about the live feeds. Also, by the way, just got some news from Eric Betzler, who helps develop the RHAP app, that the new version of the RHAP app has been updated where you can download podcasts. You used to have to only be able to stream them. You can download them. You can download the new version of the Rob Has a Website or Rob Has a Podcast app in the App Store, or go to robswebsite.com/app for the iOS or Android version of the app as well. So so many exciting things going on. We are here night two. Last night we talked to Matt Hoffman. A lot of fun with Matt, and I can't wait to get into it because I am very excited. Because last night, I have to be honest, I was disappointed with the premiere of Big Brother 17. I really had my hopes up, and I think maybe I just forgot what Big Brother is, or maybe Big Brother has changed, and I was really resistant to it. But tonight, I think I have the case of the Stockholm Syndrome because I really enjoyed the second night of the Big Brother premiere. Jordan, what was your take about the first night and the second night of the show?
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Rob. I think if you're more of a traditional Big Brother fan, I think you probably walked away from last night a little bit disappointed because, I mean, hey, guess what? Battle of the Block is back. And hey, guess what? There's this twin twist happening. And hey, guess what? There's another twist happening tomorrow. All this stuff is going on. It's wacky. And I mean, it's not the same show that it once was. But this is, we're in this era of Big Brother in which, I mean, twists are, I mean, Alison Grodner's running the show. Twists are going to be very prevalent. You know what? It is what it is. So, you know what? As I took it for what it was, I actually enjoyed last night and I enjoyed tonight's episode a little bit more because we got to see our boy Johnny Mac, the rock star dentist. And also, too, I think, you know, like the thing with Big Brother Canada, like what they just did, their two-night premiere, they kind of rushed things a little bit because they had their HOH deal and then there's the power veto, all that stuff. This two-night premiere format that Big Brother US is using now, it gives you a chance to get to know the people a little bit more better. So I like how they're doing that. They're taking their time. We're going to get the Battle of the Block on the weekend, Eviction next week. We get to know these people a little bit before anybody goes home. So you know what? I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun tonight. Of course, the headline is not only did we get our sixth house guest that we were waiting to see last night move in, but we had our first BB takeover. Oh, my God. What? And wow, talk about synergy. The host of The Amazing Race, Phil Kogan, comes in and announces, of all things, and this has been rumored for a while. This had been a hot rumor, and I didn't put a lot of stock in it because I said, why? Yeah. Why on earth would Big Brother go through all the trouble to hide from us the 15th and 16th house guest, which would be Jeff and Jackie, of all people, from The Amazing Race? And I cover The Amazing Race, so I know all about Jeff and Jackie. I know who they are. But I said, of all people, why would they take Jeff and Jackie, who I wouldn't even think would be Amazing Race all-stars, and put them in the Big Brother house? And so nobody was more surprised than me to see this, because if you were going to include Jeff and Jackie in the season, why give them a special treatment? Why not just include them? Oh, and also, by the way, this season, we're going to have these two people. Because Big Brother was hyping this up of, again, the hype with this season has just been all off to me. From Julie Chen hyping up the return of the Battle of the Block as a fan favorite that was going to come back. And you know what? If they would have just said a week ago, hey, Battle of the Block is going to be this season, I would have said, okay, I could have said, all right, let's see how this goes, Battle of the Block, the second time around. Who knows? Maybe it was just because you had Derek in the house, and it was really, there was no chance that anything crazy was going to happen on Derek's watch last season. And so maybe in a new version, in a new house, maybe Battle of the Block has a few more twists and turns, and maybe it's not the same people every single week. So I've embraced the Battle of the Block, but just the branding behind, hey, the fan favorite is back. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's Battle of the Block. That was the fan favorite. And then to have Jeff and Jackie come into the house, which is fine, whatever, you know, we'll come on to embrace Jeff and Jackie, who I think were fun on The Amazing Race, but I think they're a little vanilla, especially Jeff. Jackie, I think that might be a little bit more of a character. They did get into some fights on The Amazing Race, but just the way that it was sort of like this big surprise that was coming to the show. Oh my God, here they are, The Amazing Race legends, CBS royalty. It's Jeff and Jackie. Jordan, do you have any idea who Jeff and Jackie are? I know you were playing Big Brother Canada at the time of Amazing Race 26.
I have zero idea who Jeff and Jackie are because, yeah, I was in the Big Brother Canada house when this season of The Amazing Race aired, the blind date twist. I don't really know how that season went over. I haven't talked to Jessica Lise yet. I have no clue who those guys are. I mean, Jackie, it seems like she can bring something to the table. It seems like she's, you know, physically fit and she seems to, a lot of the times.
I think she's bringing a couple things to the table.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's polarizing. She's attractive, all this stuff, right? Whereas with Jeff, I mean, I don't know. The guy, like, he seems like a good enough looking dude, but I don't know. He seemed kind of bland to me. So, I mean, that's just my first impression. Who knows? Maybe he'll impress me. Perhaps he was different on the race, but based on what you're saying, it doesn't seem like that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't know. It's just the whole, branding and everything of the season. I mean, saying that the Battle of the Block is a fan favorite is the equivalent of saying that volunteering to go on the block is a good idea. I mean, it's just completely asinine. Like, no, I mean, but it's sort of like turned into this. It's almost like Survivor's Redemption Island here, whereas Probst was very adamant that, yes, Redemption Island, it's great. It's back. It's going to be awesome. It's going to work. And it just, you know, I mean, eventually it did, but it kept going to it. And I just feel like this Battle of the Block thing, I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm hoping it's going to be better this season, but I don't know. I guess the positive is we don't have any have-not competitions, and those were kind of a waste anyway.
No, I've come around on the Battle of the Block. I'm willing to see what Battle of the Block 2.0 looks like and see. Because last season, the way that it worked was that there was just this giant alliance, and no matter who was the HOHs, it was always the same people that were going up on the block. If it does weed out some of the floaters, then I'm okay. I think that it could potentially work. We have to see it in practice. If you take Derek out of the mix, what does the Battle of the Block look like with 16 new players? And so maybe there's something there with Battle of the Block. Brent, do you have any sense of who Jeff and Jackie are?
Rob, I'm on your show now once a week, and I have no clue who Jeff and Jackie were. I remember, you're right, this was a hot rumor. I heard about this about a week ago, and I messaged the aforementioned Alex Skidwell, our live feed correspondent, and said, who are these people and why are they coming back if true? And he said, basically, I don't know and I don't know. There was nothing really important about them. He was convinced that the rumor was true, but he also didn't really understand why they were being brought back or why they were being pumped up as something that other than the other 14 house guests.
Okay, so let me give a little bit of a scouting report on Jeff and Jackie, because I realize that there's a lot of Big Brother viewers who don't watch The Amazing Race. And another thing I'm going to do at the end of this podcast in the audio version, I'm going to include my exit interview with Jeff and Jackie from a couple of months ago. And it's actually a kind of a funny exit interview because I was in Las Vegas for the podcast awards. Jordan, did you hear we won a podcast award? We won two podcast awards when you were in the house.
I did. That was actually one of the first things that I found out as soon as I got out of the house. So, no, actually, someone tweeted me right away. So congratulations, Rob, once again. Not surprised. I knew you'd win it again.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But that being said, so I was in Las Vegas and I was sort of trying to record this interview. And I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad I didn't just blow it off because I easily thought about it. it was a week where I was going to be away, but I did it and I got out. I was like attached my laptop to the phone. And so I was calling them over that way, and I was like underneath a monorail, but it worked out to be something, turned out to be nice because it ended up that they were on Big Brother. But so they were sort of a pretty interesting team, at least in the beginning of The Amazing Race, because of all the blind date teams, it seemed like that was the only team that there was some chemistry between them. And it really did seem like Jeff was definitely into Jackie. And it seems like to me, I do think that maybe Jackie could have a little bit of a Parvati in her. I don't know if she was ever super into Jeff, but I think she was willing to entertain the idea because she knew that there was going to be some sort of buzz about them as if they could somehow get together as a couple on the show, because the show really wanted one of the blind date couples to get together. So I think that Jackie was at least willing to play the flirt card there. And I do think that she has that kind of ups, not necessarily Parvati Shallow as a game player, but I do think that the how we talk about Parvati in a reality TV sense, I do think that Jackie would be flirtatious to gain an advantage in the game. I think that Jeff is kind of just kind of cut and dry. I wonder if people, maybe old people, might just be flipping through the channels and think that Jeff Schroeder is back. Is there any chance of that, Jordan?
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, if you were to ask me before this season, what do you think is more likely to happen? Some random guy named Jeff from Amazing Race Blind Date is on the season, or Big Jeff is back for a third time? I think I would say the latter. So, yeah, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if some people are just flipping through and are like, oh, yeah, Jeff's on this season. All right. Because we haven't had one since, right? And I mean, he's such an iconic character in Big Brother. I mean, who doesn't like Big Jeff, right?
That's, well, some people don't. They don't love him in the marriage boot camp house. I don't know. But Brent, do you think that Jeff, Amazing Race Jeff, spent a little too much time in the sun before he came in the house?
He does look pretty tan, doesn't he? You know, I wanted to ask you really quick, if allow me to put on my tinfoil hat. You mentioned why did Big Brother put these two people in the house, essentially apart from the other 14 house guests. And my first thought, and again, it's a tinfoil hat theory, is I feel like the show is invested in making sure that two things happen this season. One, that Audrey does okay. They want her to go forward in the game some. They want her to be there for a little bit of time. And two, that Liz goes forward in the game, assuming that she's the one who has the twin. And you put these two people in the house. I mean, everybody came in. When they came in, they're all thinking, well, you know, they have a trust that's been developed on the outside. There are going to be two really big targets that are sitting there in front of these other people that might have been put up before them. And I feel like, you know, when we turn the feet on tonight, I think there's a good chance that Jeff or Jackie is going to be sitting on the block.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an interesting idea. But to me, I think that Big Brother came away from season 12. Like, how many times have there been a season where Big Brother comes in, oh, the twist this summer, saboteur. It's all about the saboteur this summer. We're going to have a big twist. There's a saboteur, and all season long, they're going to be screwing things up, and this is the season of the saboteur. It's like, oh, the saboteur just went out week one. Whereas in a season like this, in this season, in Big Brother 17, there's no way Big Brother's twist can be ruined right off the bat. Because in a season with a million twists, and not just to where we have so many different things going on, so many storylines to follow between, okay, we have people from The Amazing Race. We have this twin twist that we're excited about. We have the transgender contestant that we're excited about. We're going to keep putting more and more stuff every week. There's no way this season is twist proof in the sense that they can't blow it with any of these twists after week one, because if Liz gets voted out the first week, we still have all these other twist chips on the roulette table.
I hear you. Just like I said, it's a thought. It's a tinfoil hat thing. And there may be somebody that was worried about it, but maybe you're right. Then they think that, you know, no matter what happens, our twists are good. I still think that they're invested. I mean, they made such a big deal out of this twin twist, and I have two problems with that. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but they don't even look the same. We talked about this last week.
Wait, hold on now. So are we officially, the show is not... they're really making a meal out of this. Talk about the season, right? Of suspense over nothing. Of even it's really of like, okay, we've got this big announcement we're going to make about the fan favorite that's coming back to the house. It's just to set up the Battle of the Block. Then they have this whole big thing to announce two people that are just pretty average Amazing Race contestants are going to be on the show, with all due respect to Jeff and Jackie, who I think are very nice. And you'll hear in my exit interview that I do like them. I just did not think that they reinvented the wheel in The Amazing Race. Not like Blaley, who I would have much rather have seen come back, because Haley from The Amazing Race is fantastic television, and I would love to watch her on the live feeds all summer. I wonder if they said no, or that would be a good question to ask her. And I do hope that we can get her on the podcast this summer to talk Amazing Race and talk about Big Brother and Jeff and Jackie. But where was I going with this? Somebody remind me. Okay. With the idea of this big announcement of what we're going to do of hyping this all up, it's just so surprising to me that you're going to spend all, you know, just back up and really make all of this hype and hoopla about all of this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, but again, like I don't know. I guess like you were saying with, you know, Big Brother 12. Okay, Saboteur. Here's the twist, and then it's out week one last season. Oh, guess what? Big twist. Battle of the Block. This is going to be a great season. We're going to get all these voters. And really, I mean, Big Brother 16. I mean, it was okay. But it wasn't really the greatest season ever. And I think that they're just thinking that, hey, let's just do all these crazy twists and hopefully, let's throw them on the wall and let's hope one of them sticks. And then you were mentioning the Liz thing. We don't know for sure. They haven't announced yet if it's officially right. Liz who's doing it. But I mean, they released the backyard pictures today, and it does not look like Liz, the person that is in the picture. So I'm fairly certain.
But don't you think, isn't this hilarious though? Isn't it really, really funny that they would potentially do this with somebody? And Brent, can you just verify? So the person that is the twin twist is actually Liz's sister, right? It's not an actual twin.
I still haven't heard exactly what it is. We aren't even sure that it's Liz. I mean, I heard a rumor today that Johnny Mack had a twin, which I if there's another Johnny Mack out there, I want to meet him, because that's a one's enough for me. I don't know exactly who is in the house currently, but if it's Liz's, it's either Liz's sister or Liz's twin, and if it's Liz's sister, then they're only 10 months apart and they look very similar, although not identical.
So is it possible that it's not Liz? I think we've been working under the assumption that it is Liz.
Well, we talked about all of the dog whistles, the fact that her Twitter is locked, and the fact that maybe it wasn't talking to you, maybe it was talking to Alex, when the press agent who was with Liz when they were interviewing with Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel
and Ryan,
Riley was reporting that.
Right. They really shut it down, and when they got really angry when they asked about the twins. So, you know, unless they're trolling us, I have to believe it's Liz.
Yeah. Mm. Now,
but I think Rachel Riley was on Periscope last night with Portia, and then she brought that up. And then
were they on a boat?
I'm hearing this secondhand. I didn't see it myself. But apparently Portia just completely shut down on the topic of Liz's sister. So I think unless they're the greatest trolls of all time, I think it's going to be Liz.
But won't it be really funny if they do this twin twist and they really are not identical, and it's kind of obvious when the other one is the other one, and just to see how many people fall for it?
Well, and,
won't
and
that
also
be pretty funny?
Oh, hilarious. And also too, like, Liz, I think is she's a prime candidate for a showman. So, I mean, if she ends up in a showman with one of these guys, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's making out with the wrong person, or the guy's making out with a different person, they're gonna be like, isn't this person different? So, I don't know. It's gonna be hilarious to watch. And I think that, you know, Big Brother 5, it was a great moment. Adrian and Natalie going into the house together and revealing their secret. But I mean, realistically, like, they lucked out that season that they made it that far. I think for anybody, even if you put it for one of the more highly skilled players, like even a Vanessa, that's an incredibly tough thing to pull off, having two people playing the game as one person. I mean, it's going to be very tough to make it to week 5.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was really, really fun, everything that went on during night 2 of the premiere. So Phil Kogan is the first person to get the BB Takeover. Do we know what night of the week the BB Takeover is going to happen? If format-wise, is it always going to be Thursday during the live show? So we'll get Eviction, then BB Takeover, then HOH. Jordan, do you have any sense of how this is going to work?
As all that I know is that as soon as Julie Chen just plays the music, get ready for a takeover,
this
then
one?
It's happening. So,
what? Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yeah, I don't think specifically they announced it. I mean, that would make sense if it was once a week, every Thursday after the eviction, before the HOH or after the HOH. But who knows? I think that, you know, conspiracy theorists might believe that, oh, they're just going to do it whenever it's convenient and whenever. So who knows? I don't think they actually had a concrete time.
Well, did you hear this rumor today that was floating around because of all of the synergy between CBS that there was a rumor that there was going to be a Survivor version of BB Takeover coming to the house? Have you heard this, Jordan or Brent?
I have not heard this.
Yeah.
No. I also have not heard this.
Yeah. So the rumor that I'm hearing is that Tony Vlachos was in the mix for a week on the BB Takeover. And I actually heard this. Somebody had emailed me. I don't know if they work with the people that do the music for the BB Takeover, but this is what they sent me. Tell me if you think this might be legit.
Hey, guys, get ready for a sleepover.
Okay, Rob is trolling us.
A Tony Vlachos sleepover, is that possible? No,
I think that's definitely a possible legit thing, and I think that we might be seeing Tony Vlachos in the Big Brother 17 house this season. Rob, woo-hoo! I think that this is breaking news. Are happening now. Tony Vlachos is going into the house.
I think so.
I don't know if you guys saw, Russell Hantz was tweeting Robin Cass saying, "Hey, Robin, you got to let me into the Big Brother house this season." I think Tony and Russell together, BB Takeover.
Wow.
Playing as a duo, I think that would be a pretty sweet twist.
Well, I do hope they do something Survivor related at some point. Not to add Survivors into the mix for casting, but I think it would be a very fun thing to say. Anyway, but absolutely, Let's talk about what some of the people that we got to meet here. And I do feel like the cast that we got to see tonight with the six people that were added, I think we had a lot of fun with the people that were there. Specifically, very excited to see our guy Johnny Mac into the mix, but also it was very excited to have Steve in the mix. He was great. Also very excited to see Jason. I think Jason was the MVP of the night. Any qualms with that, Brent?
No qualms with that. And by the way, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the live feeders have all done a pool, and Jason is my guy from the pool. So he's my number one pick in the draft. So I'm hoping he does well, and he did not fail tonight.
And Big Brother is all about pools. So that's great. great to know. Jason is fantastic. He was great. He was great TV. He made me laugh the whole time that he was on the screen. He was fantastic. I thought it was great when he came into the house.
Oh, my Lanta.
and good for him to win the second half of the HOH. Now, Jordan, what's your take on a guy like Jason, who is the smallest guy? Davon compared him to Pee Wee Herman. He came into the house, but then he made such a big impression by winning the second half of the HOH. Is that the right strategy for him? Should he be doing that? He is small. He is weak. Was that great for him to flex his muscle and show off just how good he is in the challenges?
Here's the thing with Jason. And again, with the first HOH, I think the new not winning the first HOH is it's winning the first HOH, because I think that, you know, when you look at it, Jason is a guy that he's probably certain people are going to be annoyed with him. But I feel like him getting a little bit of power here is going to help him build some relationships right away. Does it put a little bit of a target on his back by showing that, yes, he can win competitions? Sure. But, I mean, you have guys in this game like a Clay, like a Jace, like an Austin. You have a guy who people are probably going to perceive as smarter than him in Steve. You've got Jeff. All these big, huge guys. I mean, as somebody who played the Big Brother game, I mean, I could have been in the house, and I'm trying to think of a small – there wasn't really anybody small in our season. But if you have somebody who isn't really physically imposing, and even if they start winning competitions, people aren't really going to be too afraid of him. I at least don't think so, unless he keeps banging them off week after week after week. I mean, you saw with Matt Hoffman in Big Brother 12. I mean, you want to be that smaller person is really the ideal body type for playing these physical type of competitions. And Matt mentioned that last night, but people didn't really view Matt as a physical threat, and they're probably not going to view Jason as a physical threat. So you know what? I like the move.
Yeah. I think it was a good spot for him, because I think that he saved himself about 6 weeks in a row of going up for Battle of the Block by coming out and winning, because I think that you looked at him, if you were Battle of the Block and you were somebody, one of those first two HOHs, and you would say, all right, I'm going to have to put up Jason because he's probably not going to be good in the challenges, and then I can go ahead and that's going to be an easy person to go off. And he's saying to them, not so fast, boo. Not so fast. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I hope Jason goes so far in the game. I love him.
Jason is great. He has the best voice ever. Like, who has a better voice, Jason or Mike Holloway, the winner of Survivor Worlds Apart?
I thought you were going to say Jason or Johnny Mac.
Oh, Johnny Mac as well. And another
right?
thing, yeah, great voice. And did either of you guys feel like Johnny Mac kind of sounded like he was drunk in the diary room?
I think that's just how he talks.
This is how it's like. I love him too. Great voices this season.
He's fantastic. He was great. Very excited to have him into the house. What do you think of Vanessa on night one?
Brent, you want to take this one?
Well, no, I mean, I've talked about Vanessa on the previous podcast. She's everything that I thought she would be. She was circumspect. She was quiet. She seemed thoughtful. I think those qualities can be intimidating to like a lot of the alpha males in the house. I don't know that she's. I was watching the body language between a lot of the contestants, and I didn't get to see a lot of her. But it did seem like she was a bit standoffish from people. She wasn't. She wasn't in there with people. She seemed more on the outside of the circle rather than inside the circle. And that worries me.
Yeah, Vanessa needs to relax, bro, because she is taking this way too seriously, talking about game theory and what's going on. We've got damn UFOs ejaculating on people right now. Throw your game theory out the window right now. This is the summer of BB Takeover. Your game theory is not going to be worth bupkis.
No, well, I will say that when she was on, you know, I watched a lot of her playing poker, and they always talk about that's a thing with her, Rob. She always talks about game theory. She studied game theory at Duke. That's the thing with her. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that they just brought that up in the diary room and they said, why don't you say game theory? Because that sounds really cool.
Yeah, Brent, I agree with you 100%. I think that's one of those things where they're like, so, Vanessa, how does your background in game theory going to help you with this today? And then she probably went off and talked about it. But you know what? I think Vanessa, she didn't get a ton of airtime tonight.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that she did a decent job. I mean, yeah, I mean, she was way more concerned about the game theory than the UFOs, which is concerning for me. you know what? I think that the only thing that I'm a little scared of is that she initially sitting out of that competition. I think that's a good idea. However, we have Phil say at the end of the episode that the Davon and Vanessa are in for the risk is worth the reward of sitting out of the competition. Mm-hmm. I feel like that if the house guests don't know what that reward is quickly, that might put a bit of a target on Vanessa's back. So I'm a little concerned about that. But otherwise, I like her position in the game right now. I think that she can adapt. She wasn't super warm. I just don't think she's that kind of person, though, right away. So I think eventually, as people get to know her, I hopefully think she can adapt, and we'll see when the live feeds come on tonight.
One last thing on the game theory thing with Vanessa. Do you guys really think the Big Brother producers feel like what the American Big Brother viewing audience wants to hear about is game theory?
Well, I think that what they're trying to push is a really smart, aggressive female, you know, like a brainiac kind of female Dan who can, you know, just run this game from inside and out. And so I don't know if they necessarily push that phrase, but I know that that's what they want.
Yeah, I think that was her. I don't think that she was coached into
really. Okay. Okay. Interesting. All right.
That being said, let's talk about what this possibly could mean for, of all people, Vanessa and Davon, who the narrative coming into this house, coming into this summer, coming into this season was, ho, poker player, poker dealer. It's all set up. Davon is going to know who she is immediately. Davon is going to out her. And that does not seem to be the case at all. And I said this on Twitter and people are like, well, what is she going to say in front of everybody? No. But if Davon knew who she was, you would think, so considering we got a diary room about Davon talking about how she doesn't think Johnny Mac is really a dentist, you would think they would give us a piece of tape if she was saying that she knows who Vanessa is and she's a famous poker player. So I do not think that is going to be a piece of the story this summer. Jordan, agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Rob. I think, she wouldn't, if she did know, maybe she wouldn't call her out right away. But at the same time, like you said, I mean, Big Brother is about crafting a story and they don't know what the finish of this story is going to be yet. It's live happening as, you know, we're watching it. And I think that if this was something that was going to come up pretty shortly here, I think they probably would have mentioned that in the first episode. Again, she's talking about the, you know, Jackie and Jeff, and she's talking about Johnny Mac not being a dentist. You'd think that if she did recognize who Vanessa Russo really was, she would have brought that up, and she would have said, she ain't no DJ, she's a poker player, and she would have said something like that. So the fact that she didn't, I think that speaks volumes to Vanessa's position right now. I think she's in a good spot.
That was hilarious, though, when she was talking about Johnny Mac not being a dentist. She's like, he is not giving off a dentist vibe. That's true. She's not wrong about that.
No,
she's wrong.
Not at all. Not at all.
But you know what? It's the sort of thing where when you're somebody who's lying about your job, you're the kind of person now who thinks everybody is also lying about their job. It's sort of thing. Like, the biggest liars always think everybody else is lying. And the people that are trusting, like, never, and the people that are really honest have a hard time thinking that other people aren't being honest all the time. It's sort of the thing of, like, it tells you just as much about yourself as it does about the other people. So very interesting to watch. But I thought she was really good tonight, too. She's locked in, Davon.
Dave Vaughn is awesome. She was great tonight. She was great last night. Big personality. I mean, seems to be a fan of this game. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think that there's a chance she could probably, she's probably going to go up this week, I think. We'll see, maybe. But I think that so far I am very impressed by Dave Vaughn, and I hope she does very well in this game. She's very fun to watch.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think is the silver lining about everything that we've seen, where the cast seems very strong. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of misses here. And this might turn out to be a great season of Big Brother, despite all the different ways it seems like they're attempting to try to just drive it into the ground. Like, this could end up being, you could have the best ideas in the world, and if the cast doesn't deliver, then that's not going to be a great season. But if you have the right people in the house, it's almost foolproof. In that doesn't really matter so much of what they're doing in the game, as long as we have fun people that we like rooting for or that we hate rooting for all through the summer, I think it could still turn out. And that's what is really exciting for me about what we've seen these two nights.
Yeah, this cast is great. I mean, kudos to Rob and Cass. Excellent job so far. I mean, these people are all awesome. The only thing where I'm a little bit concerned is I don't know who's going to be our big Devin type of, or like, villain, I should say, this season. Brent, I don't know if you have any ideas, but I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I do really like this group, though.
I think that Audrey could fill that role. I don't know that if the show will let her from an editing perspective, but I think that's the role that she wants to be.
Right.
The one, I will say one thing that this, just going back to the Battle of the Block, since we were talking about this, my problem with the Battle of the Block is that it doesn't really allow for power shifts in the game. Like, it's sort of like, well, you have these two winners and then it's like, okay, they're the head of households. Whereas in the past, it's always like, well, you know, oh my God, this person won HOH. And now the power is massively shifted to one side or the other. From a storytelling perspective, it doesn't really allow it. You know, during Battle of the Blocks.
Yeah, I disagree.
I don't know that it's going to be good from a, you know, heroes and villains perspective of the game.
You know, I think that the Big Brother house and the Big Brother way that the alliances shape up could go one of two ways. It's either there's one side of the house versus the other side of the house. And in that case, I do think that the Battle of the Block could make for an interesting case where, say, like the start of Big Brother 15, where there was the house was more divided of one side of the house versus the other side of the house. If you had two people from each one HOH from each side of the house, I think that could make for a really compelling Battle of the Block. But a season like last season, where there was just this one, you know, bomb squad, amoeba type alliance, and everybody was in it only except for a couple of people. And those were the people that were always in the Battle of the Block every single week. I think in a season like that, the Battle of the Block isn't going to be very good. So hopefully this is going to be the type of season where the house is really going to be sort of split down the middle, where there's like eight people on one side and like five or six people on the other side and a couple of people who are just sort of the floaters. And in that season, like a season like a Big Brother 5 also, which also had the twin twist where it was like the four horsemen on one side, but everybody else was sort of on the other side. Or even a season like with the friendship versus the nerd herd, or the friendship was the nerd herd, but the friendship versus whatever, the Sovereign Six. Yeah. You know, I think in a season where the house is split, Battle of the Block could be very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we missed last season. I think perhaps that's why, you know, Alison Grodner and the executive producers wanted to bring Battle of the Block back, was because we were missing that last season. We didn't get to see two HOHs go head to head that were, like, you know, on opposite sides of the house that were against each other. And we also didn't see, I mean, it would be really interesting to see if we could get a potential scenario in which one of these HOHs goes home through a back door or something like that. So that is yet to happen. And yeah, like it just depends. I mean, if it does end up where there's a big like bro alliance where, you know, everybody's working together, you know, the same people keep winning all the time, then I could see it ending up in a scenario like Brent explained. But again, like Rob said, if it is a season in which there are two factions in the house, I think it could be really interesting. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. And hopefully, this is the right cast for this type of twist.
Even like a Big Brother 12, where there was such a big alliance in the house, and that, but they were all sort of united against Brendan and Rachel, and it would have been that the, you know, somebody from the Brigade would have been one of the HOHs, and they would have put up like Brendan and Rachel into the Battle of the Block together, and they would have been competing together. I think that would have been interesting. So I think there's a lot of other seasons where Battle of the Block could have been compelling. It just was in a season like last season, where, you know, you had this big bomb squad, and then Derek had his hooks into Nicole and Hayden too, and Donnie was kind of with them, but
yeah.
You know,
the counter alliance
that they were with, there was nothing there to the resistance. Like there was no group of that could really fight back. They were just, the bullies were just like picking off the people that were easy pickings, and so it made it not so great. So we'll see. We'll see how. But if Battle of the Block doesn't work this year, get it the hell out of here for Big Brother 18. Stop calling it a fan favorite, because it's not. We're being charitable. We're being charitable that we're entertaining the idea of the Battle of the Block.
Yeah. I agree. I think we can give it another shot. Yeah, I think we can give it another shot. But if it doesn't work here, I think Big Brother 18, we got to go in another direction.
Right. Right.
All-Stars. I would love to see an All-Star season or some returnees, please. It's been a while. I think it would be great to get a full All-Star season going. Hey, maybe Big Brother Second Chances with a Z.
Second Chances with a Z. Who knows? How about Liz on night one? What do you think? Twin twist aside, what do you guys think of the appearance of Liz? Thumbs up or thumbs down on Liz, Jordan?
Oh, gosh. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think I went in with pretty low expectations on Liz. So you know what, actually, I think she did, she did well in that competition. So, and she seemed to have like a little bit of awareness of what was going on. She seemed to have a little more social skill than I gave her credit for. So, you know what, I guess like thumbs like middle on Liz, like slightly pointing up just based on my initial impression. Brent, what did you think?
Well, I think she definitely exceeded my expectations, but where my expectations were, that's not saying a lot. I remember her. That's what I can tell you about Liz tonight. I can remember who she was. I remember what she did, and I can hear her voice in my head, whereas I can't say the same about the other contestants.
It's hard to forget Liz's voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Another great voice.
It's not a voice that you're going to forget very often. No, it's not.
So that's, it's husky voice, sultry.
Yes. Sultry, Rob. Sultry.
Raspy.
Yes. And then who else did we meet tonight? Is there anybody else that we didn't talk about? So we talked about Johnny, talked about Liz. Not Shelly.
Becky.
How could I forget Becky? Oh, how could I forget Becky from Rado? Boy. Did you hear Becky likes to go hiking? Did you know this about Becky? Did you guys know Becky likes to hike?
Wait, what? She likes to hike?
Yeah.
No, really?
She likes to hike, and I think she also does a thing where she only like talks out of like one side of her mouth in the diary room. That's a developing story. I'm going to be following that.
Yeah, I'd like to hike, Rob.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, I think. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
we'll see it progress. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything going on there with Becky. I think we sort of hit the nail on the head with that. Steve, we haven't touched on much, and here's Steve. So, Jordan, I know you were very high on Steve in the preseason. Is Steve living up to expectations?
Well, you know, for me, I was high on Steve just from on a personal level, just because as a super fan on my season, I just can relate with the guy so much. I was a little bit, I was probably a little higher than you and Ian were on him, Rob, but I was a little bit wary just because of the whole, you know, he seemed a little bit awkward and he's young and he hasn't, you know, doesn't have a ton of life experience. But I actually was pretty impressed with him so far. I mean, he is awkward, but I think that if you give him some time, I mean, he didn't seem to piss anybody off too much. I mean, Clay did mention that he looks like Ian Terry, so that's not good. I think
that's great to look like Ian Terry's a handsome guy.
I think Ian is a great looking guy, but I think that just the fact that the wheels are turning and he's already like, oh, yeah, this guy's the next Ian. Like, as soon as he said that, I was like, Clay, a guy that I thought had really not seen too much Big Brother. I mean, he calls himself a super fan after watching it for 4 months, but hey, whatever.
You watched a lot in 4 months.
I guess so. Other than that, you know what? I think Steve did a good job. I'm hoping he can go deep in this game. I mean, he could fall into this category that Jason potentially could have fallen into of the perennial pawn with this Battle of the Block thing if he doesn't get into this big alliance. And to be honest, I don't really see Steve getting into that alliance if it happens. So for his sake, I'm hoping that we've got two factions and there's a lot of different people all over the place, multiple alliances, and I think that would probably benefit him the most.
Brent, did it surprise you to find out that 22-year-old virgin Steve spends a lot of time at home playing with his Erector set?
I had never seen an Erector set in my life, Rob. Seriously, I thought that was Mousetrap. I really did.
Now you know. Now you know.
Who knew?
We'll see. I can't believe it. Steve is another guy who's got to lighten up a little bit. Steve's got to lighten up in this house.
Well, yeah, exactly. If he doesn't want to be, mistook for the next Ian, I'm with Jordan. My heart really sunk when Clay said that because I'm like, one, it's true, and two, I really don't want it to be true because if they think that, then they're going to get rid of him. If they get rid of him, then his game is done.
So, and I stand by what I said in the preseason about him, that Ian took a lot of time and tried to fit in and adapt in that house. I think Steve, I have not seen a lot of hints from preseason or what I'm seeing tonight that he's really going to change who he is to try to fit in with this group. And I think that he's going to have a hard time struggling to try to keep his head above the nomination chopping block.
Right. The thing that Ian had that Steve doesn't have is that Ian had, one, the coach's twist saved him in week one. But two, beyond that, I think the bigger thing was that he had a mentor in Mike. He had somebody willing to take him under his wing and make him feel more comfortable and, you know, say, you know, I want to teach you something, you know. Steve doesn't have anybody like that in the house. So who's he going to go to, you know?
I mean, maybe like I could see an Austin, but other than that, yeah, like nobody. Yeah, he's not going to have that, right?
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's about it. He doesn't have that older kind of guy to show him the ropes and what to do. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point, Brent, in that, yeah, Ian had Mike Boogie, and he had Mike Boogie for quite a while to show him, you know, hey, this is what you got to do and coach him up, whereas Steve is not going to have that. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll impress us a little bit more than we're giving him credit for, but I don't know. I'm a little scared, to be honest.
Another couple of points from the episode tonight. Jace is annoying. I was wrong on him.
Wow.
I thought Jace was going to be okay, but he's way too over the top. He's getting on everybody's nerves.
You know, that was just the first night kind of thing.
You know what?
Just all
that's
energy,
your Devin.
You know?
That's your Devin. It's Jace.
Okay.
Wait, you know, you don't like Rotto and you don't like Archie comics, Rob? What's wrong with Benny?
You know, when he said Rotto, it was like he said a swear word or something. The way the music gave him, you know, that kind of, you know, when the record scratch thing, I was like, well, what did he say? You know, I mean, like, I realize she doesn't call it that, but it wasn't like it was a swear word or something.
She has a lot of Colorado pride. We know two things about Becky. She's from Colorado. She likes to go hiking. Don't call it Rotto, just like you don't call it hiking. Get it straight.
Hiking.
Jace.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We don't call it that. Okay, buddy? Watch it. So that's a storyline we're going to watch. Boy, Jason coming into the house, he looked like he was really nervous. He was really sweating a lot coming into the house.
Did
you guys catch that?
Did you guys see those sweat stains? I love the guy. I feel bad for him. I was really nervous when I first went in the house. But,
yeah, dark colors for future Big Brother contestants. You don't want to go with something that's light and tight. That's going to be not great. Should we be making anything out of the amount of UFO references that are coming into the house this season? Like, is that a theme that we should be noticing? Like, why did Big Brother decide to spend premiere week talking about UFOs when typically the first week of Big Brother, we talk about it's summer, it's barbecue, it's a pool, it's hang on to a hot dog, it's beach balls, it's all these things. Why UFOs? Why now?
Well, Rob, it is 2015. I mean, I was away for 3 months, so maybe I'm wrong, but aren't ejaculating UFOs in right now?
Are they going to be taking over the house? Is that what's going on?
I think so. I thought that was a thing. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, you know, perhaps like they're just trying to, you know, with the Battle of the Block last season, you know, the first HOH and the second HOH, sometimes they had this like theme for, you know, well, that's what they did, I believe, for the first one, right? So I think they're just trying to do something different. And this was just what they came up with. So I don't know. That's the best guess that I have. Brent, I don't know what you think, but
oh, I'm with you. I think they were looking for something that worked together. And, you know, on one side of the house, you've got the people who are appearing in the movie. On the other side of the house, you have the people being thrown tomatoes that are the critics in the movie. So, you know, I don't really know which one it is, but I think it's probably your supposition, Jordan, that they just needed two things that went together that looked good on television and were really, really messy.
Summer blockbusters, people like UFOs, you know, they were very impressed that the Big Brother Canada had this whole steampunk theme. It's like, okay, we'll see your steampunk and raise you UFOs.
Right. Can we talk about the fact that they said it's a whole nother house? It's the same house. They just redid it a little bit. It's
no, like, there's a skywalk.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Brent. Jeez, a skywalk, okay? Get your facts right.
Well, like, there's a super fan, Jason, say, oh my God, it's a whole nother house. And it's, I'm like, girl, it's the same house.
It's a different house than the house he lives in. It's a whole different house.
It's not his mom's basement.
It's not his mom's basement. Okay. I'm very excited for everything that's going to go on. Let's just take a look. Is it worth even speculating on who could be the people that are going up on the Battle of the Block?
Why not? I mean, I don't know. Just based on first impressions, I feel like, I mean, I'm not quite sure there's four people, so it's hard to speculate and pinpoint the exact four. But I think that Jeff and Jackie, the fact that neither of them won, I think they're clear targets right off the bat. Mm. I'm not sure about what you guys think, but I think that those are an easy call.
I don't think that Jason will nominate Jackie after saying that in front of all those people, but I think it's entirely possible that James will nominate Jackie, especially... One, she wasn't in his group, so he doesn't know her that well. And two, she seems like the most obvious target in the house.
Yeah.
As far as you know, she has a trust with this guy, and he's a big, strong guy, and they don't know her very well, and she's on a previous show. It's very easy to just say, well, you know, she's already been on a show. Let's get her out of here. This is our season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, we've talked about this a lot in Big Brother over the last couple of months. The plight of the sexually aggressive female. Could Jackie end up getting the Risha treatment, Jordan? Do you think that she could she sets her eyes on Clay. She's going to make a push for Clay. These other women in the house, they're saying he's a 10 out of 10. We know Shelly has a thing for Clay. If she makes that move and Clay says no dice for whatever reason, he has his eye on somebody else, could Jackie be the first person out of Big Brother 17?
Well, like you've said before, Rob, you've used the analogy of trapeze artists and, going for, that jump and missing and, you're falling flat on your face. I could totally see that happening with Jackie, because if she doesn't, well, here's a few scenarios. One, if she ends up in a showmance with Clay, we've got the Shelleys and the Liz's of the world are going to be upset and they're going to be jealous because, she's with Clay and they're not. And two, if she doesn't end up with Clay, she's tied to Jeff, who again is this big, strong guy. And two, the girls might be mad at her because she was trying to go for Clay. So I think that, we could definitely see a scenario in which, she's the first one out. I think the one thing that could help her is that, she probably, if she's going to be nominated, is going to be in that, in the initial nominations, and seems to be a decent competitor. So she could save herself in that Battle of the Block. So I think that's the one potential saving grace for her in that scenario.
Yeah. I think that Jeff or Jackie, one of them is going to be out early. Because the other thing that is going to really upset these people is that, hey, we're all strangers, but there's two people here that know each other and we're on The Amazing Race together. Like, not in my house.
Yeah, easy target right away. They're the last two in. I mean, when you're in the house, you're just looking for one thing, any reason at all to put somebody up on the block. That's a very easy reason to nominate two people. And I think that they're going to have a very tough time overcoming it.
Yeah, I think that what you're going to see, I think we're going to see a room. We're going to see a scene on the Sunday night episode in the room. It's going to be James up there with Jason. And Jason is going to be saying to James, he's like, I told her that I can't put her up on the block, but it doesn't mean that you can't. and you're going to see maybe he's going to put up Jeff, and then James will put up Jack. Although James does seem like he has the horny guy thing going on. So do you
big
think
time, yeah.
Big time. Yeah. Shades of maybe do you want me to play the I don't have it ready at the ready. I was going to say Shades of Jordan Parhar.
A little bit, perhaps. I see that in James, and I wasn't expecting that from him because he has a daughter and all this stuff. But you know what? Hey, he's a man. I mean, he's in his early 30s, so we're all human, Rob. So you know what? I didn't expect that from him either. But maybe he's got a little bit of that in him, and maybe that will cloud his judgment this week. We'll see what happens. But I think that, like you mentioned, I think that is the move. I think definitely if we are going to predict what happens on Sunday night, I think I can definitely see a scenario in which James and Jason are together and they each agree to nominate one of the Jeff and one of Jackie, guaranteeing that hopefully one of them can go home this week.
Okay, let's bring in the questions because I think we're going to come up to a bunch of these different things that we're going to talk about. So let's fire them up. I didn't set this up at the top of the show, but hashtag RHAP. We've got the chat room going. robiswebsite.com/YouTube. That's our YouTube channel. All of these live shows that we're going to do are all going to be there. So make sure you subscribe. Don't miss any of the shows. And by the way, the podcast feed, which I haven't given out the link at all yet this season of Big Brother, it's robiswebsite.com/iTunes for Rob Has a Podcast on iTunes. Or, of course, you can get the Rob Has a Podcast app at robswebsite.com/app for the audio-only feeds of the podcast. All right, here we go. This is from ID Institute. Wants to know, what's so bad about Battle of the Block? It puts a competition that's worth something on Sunday. It did put up weak players and floaters, and there's a lot of strategy. So, yet, it to be seen with it like a Survivor double vote. I'm sorry. And there's still a lot of strategy yet to be seen with it like the Survivor double vote. Okay. So, yeah, let's not get carried away with comparing it to the extra vote. But I came on tonight. I've said, let's wait and see with the Battle of the Block. Not killing the Battle of the Block. All right. Phil H. says, is it too soon to hate on Jace? No. No, it's not. It's not. Jordan, I think that he seems a bit like Bobby from your season of Big Brother Canada. What's your read on that?
Yeah, actually, our good pal McCray Olson at McCray Chum tweeted during the show. He said that Jace reminded him of John Party from season 2 of Big Brother Canada. And I said, no, he's totally Bobby from Big Brother Canada 3. And I agree with you 100%. He totally reminds me of Bobby. I mean, he skateboards. He says he's an adrenaline junkie. He's kind of a bro. Yeah, I mean, like, Jace has come across as a little bit annoying, I guess, at times. I mean, I love Bobby to death, and I think that he got a poor edit on the show. That's just me personally. But I think that I could see Jace being a really nice guy. He just doesn't really realize when he's like, yeah, I'm Archie, and I got my baby, my Veronica, and we need the hot brunette in the house, and, like, all this stuff, and I'm Indiana Jones, and, like, all the, I mean, I don't think he quite realizes how he's coming across with that stuff. So, yeah, I agree with the comparison there.
Yeah, he's too much of just talking over everybody. Like, everybody in the Big Brother house is type A personality. Everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants to say their own thing. But he has, like, something he has to say about everything. Like, a little, like, comment to add in, like, oh, so this one time I went to Starbucks. Like, yeah, man, Starbucks. Like, oh, man, coffee. Oh! You know, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have to weigh in on everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's almost like it. Maybe if you crossed the Ginger Ninja and Bobby, then you'd get that.
Oh, perfect.
I think that it's definitely a bad sign that we're only watching the edited television show and we're already seeing that in him. We haven't even seen the live feeds yet. So
yeah,
not a good sign for Jace.
Yeah.
All Rob, right. You talked about in the previous show we did on Thursday about how you were worried about the contestants who were too talky-talky and not enough listening. And I think that's Jace to a T. He just loves to hear himself talk. And I don't know that he's gonna bond with people and listen to them. And I don't know that he has the ability to turn himself off to the point where he's the listener and they're the talker.
Yeah. And in fairness to me, in the preseason when I said I thought that Jace was going to be pretty good, I didn't realize this when he was being interviewed. Because when you're being interviewed, it's like, all right, Jace, so tell me, or what do you think about Starbucks? Like, oh, Jeff, let me tell you about Starbucks. Like, so I thought he was going to be sort of like, okay, he has a big personality and everything, and he seems like he is going to have some charisma, but I didn't know he's going to talk over everybody.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know?
We'll give you a pass, Rob. And I mean, hey, he did mention that his zoo animal was that he wanted. What did he say? Did he say he wanted to be like a? He didn't say a tiger. That was Dave Vaughn. But I don't know. I remember him having a good zoo animal that he wanted to be. So we'll give you a pass, Rob.
Okay, give me a pass on that. All right. Let's take a question from the one and only. Great name. Is Jeff Probst next to take over?
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Well, he's. I think he's a little busy right now.
If you really wanted to get the synergy, I think then you have Jeff Probst in the fall, like right around the time of the Big Brother. The Survivor Second Chance is about to premiere. Maybe the week before. It's like, hey, this season of Survivor, we just filmed it. We gave people a second chance. You guys are going to have a second chance because we're doing this week over again. Something like that. Some sort of synergy.
That would be really good.
Yeah, it's like,
okay, they could bring somebody back, like at the final five, like they did in Big Brother Canada.
Well, hopefully not final five. I think that's a little late, but I agree with you, Brent. I think a jury member coming back, like Nicole last season, Jeff coming on, that would be a good time. So, yeah, absolutely. Love me some JP.
Or how about this for a twist? Hey guys, so it's Jeff Probst, and this fall, this spring, we voted people back onto Survivor, but there's a left out 11, and they're going to go visit you guys in the house for a day.
That would be so good. Oh my gosh, can you imagine getting Troy Zan and Powers and Stephanie Valencia and Michaela Wingle and Jim Rice, all these guys on the live.
Can you name all 11, Jordan?
Off the top of my head, let's see, T-Bird Cooper, who else didn't make it on?
We got it. There's a bunch.
Culpepper. Yeah, we're good. We don't need to do it.
Yeah. Buckle up, bitches. Yeah, it's left out 11. Amazing Race Know-It-All wants to know, was it right for Jason to make an open deal with Jackie in front of the whole house, and will it affect his overall game? I think we see that quite a bit. I don't think that people are going to hold that against him.
No, not at all. Yeah. I think that's fine.
I was just going to say really quickly that I really love the fact that Jason went for head of household, and he's totally right that winning head of household opens doors for him, much like McCray when he won head of household the first season. Open doors for him with the alpha males. You know, I'm trying to imagine myself as a young, you know, 20 something gay boy trying to bond with these, you know, amazing looking alpha males that are in the house. And the one thing that you can do that guarantees you a little bit of power and guarantees you some time with those people is to be head of household. So I love the fact that he went.
100%. Yeah. And I think with a guy like Jason, he's going to be playing this HOH correctly because he is such a huge fan of this game. He's not going to go in there like a Devin, like a Ronnie in season 11. He's going to play this thing properly, although Ronnie was a super fan, but we don't need to get into that. Jason,
sometimes the super fans make the worst moves.
That is true. I mean, you're looking at one of those super fans. At least if I were to win an HOH, I would have known what to do with it. In terms of, you want to be magnanimous, you want to, you know, seem like you're a caring person, you're giving back to these people, you're not on a power trip. And Jason doesn't seem like the type of person who would do that. So I think that definitely in his case, it's a great move because, like Brent said, it's going to open those doors for him.
Yeah, because the super fan, and here's the problem. The superfan is very concerned with what's the person at home thinking. And tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. Because I think that the person who maybe isn't thinking about what the fans at home are thinking, that person is content to go up there and just hit a single. Whereas I think that the person who's the superfan is much more concerned about their legacy. And I've got to do this because I want to be remembered. I want to be one of the great Big Brother players. So I need to make sure that I'm doing something that is, like, I really want to be playing the game hard and showing the people at home what a good job and how hard I'm playing the game and how much I really want this. How much of that weighs into a Big Brother super fan in the Big Brother house?
For me, 100%. Hundo. On the head, Rob. Yeah, hundo. I mean, that's why, I mean, you see people volunteering to go on the block and throwing the power veto competition because they want to make great television and they want to be legendary. They want to be remembered as a great player because you're so concerned over what is my country thinking of me right now? What are the fans thinking? Am I well-liked? I need to be doing something. I need to be doing more. And I want to be the greatest player ever, like Russell Hantz. And you know what? It's really tough. So, I mean, I could see Jason potentially falling into that down the road. However, it is very early. And I think the big thing, at least for me, when I was in there my first week was just make sure I get out of this week alive. Don't do anything too crazy. Just play it, make a simple move, don't do anything nuts if I end up in a position of power. And that's sort of what happened with me. So I'm thinking, at least, I don't know, I can't relate to everybody. I don't know what's going through Jason's head right now, but I think that down the road, we could see him making a blunder like that. We could see Steve doing a similar thing. But for now, week one, I think he's a little bit scared based on how nervous he seemed that first episode. And I don't think he's going to screw this up too bad. But hey, I've been wrong about things before, so we'll have to wait and see.
Brent, when the feeds came on last year after the Thursday night episode, do you remember at what point in the week of progress that we were at? Like, had the Battle of the Block been played? Had there been the veto ceremony? Do you remember how far along we were?
I'm pretty sure everything had already taken place. I think that they had already had the Battle of the Block, that the nominations were done, and that they already had the veto, and the veto was done. I think that
so
they
we
were
waited a week to evict somebody, and then the two people were on the block for...
Right. I know. Like I said, I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure that most everything was done at that point.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you, Brent. I recall, I think it was still the veto, I think, had been played. I think the ceremony still had to happen because I'm not quite sure if Joey was on the block yet. Because wasn't Joey backdoored, if I'm not mistaken? Or no? Am I wrong?
Well, you're close to me.
I can't remember. Sorry, Brent. I should know this. I haven't rewatched Big Brother 16 yet. But I think it was regardless of what happened, we all knew Joey was going home at that point, whether or not the veto ceremony had happened or not yet. I think it was pretty much played out.
Okay. So. All right. Let us know in the chat room where we were at. Alex Kidwell saying he thinks that Battle of the Block had happened, but not the veto.
Okay. That sounds about right, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like if the veto was already played, that people are going to be just, the two nominees are just going to be on the block for a week. Where on a regular week, they're on the block for 2 days before the thing happens. So Emily Stobbs, or our friend Emily Stobbs, wants to know, do you think that Vanessa and Devon will be the first have-nots of the season? No. We didn't really speculate on what this could mean. I don't think that they're going to be have-nots. Do you think, is there any possibility, considering that it was Phil's Big Brother takeover week, do you think there's any chance that they're going to be offered a spot on The Amazing Race after the season is over? I'm being serious. Especially those two, that it's team poker, poker dealer, poker player. Do you think that that is there a possibility that is going? Now, The Amazing Race 27 just started filming. They left this past Monday. So Amazing Race 27 is out. But for Big Brother, I'm sorry, Amazing Race 28, do you think, is there a possibility of that?
Well, anything's possible, but I have to feel like it's game related. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for him, I mean,
that's
otherwise
he
wouldn't have brought it up in front of everybody. I mean, there has to be a payoff. And if the payoff is, well, you get to be on, you know, Amazing Race 28, then it doesn't affect the game at all.
Yeah.
So I feel
too
like
much of a wild card. Too much of a wild card for that. So if it's not something like The Amazing Race, then what could it be? Do you think that they could be automatically, they get to play
that's
in the veto? That seems too small.
It can be anything. In this season of twists, every week with, you know, it's a season of 1,001 twists. It could be anything. I've been racking my brain to think, well, what could it be? You know, looking back the last 16 seasons of Big Brother, and there are just too many things to mention. I mean, they could literally take any twist and turn it into something that's good for two people.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Emery, who says, were you surprised that Jason won the HOH challenge? I think that everybody was surprised.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But again, I mean, he's got the ideal body type for those endurance type of competitions. So I was surprised that he won, but at the same time, I figured he did. He would have that in him. So, I mean, kudos to Jason.
The thing, though. I do feel like there had to have been some sort of algorithm in how much force they were using to pull people up. So if Jason weighs 110 pounds, and Jeff weighs 180 pounds, like, just to pull them up, like, the thing that's pulling up Jason has to be set to be pulling up a bigger amount of weight, where it's a smaller amount of weight to be pulling up a guy like Jason. So I feel like maybe having the smaller body type was an advantage in this sort of challenge.
100%. Absolutely.
Undo. Right. Okay. Let's go to Jer Martin, who says, who's going to get further, Jeff or Jackie, and who will betray the other one first? Absolutely, Jackie will throw Jeff under the bus way before Jeff will throw Jackie under the bus.
Concur, 100%. Just based on what they were saying in the diary room, like, she didn't really say anything about him, and he was, you know, he kept going on about her and how he has an ace
she
in the hole with
her.
She doesn't
really like him. Like, I mean, she's fine with him, but if it suits...
Exactly.
Yeah. If it suits her to keep him around, it'll do it. And if it suits her to get rid of him, he's going to get rid of it. She's not going to think twice about it.
Right.
I think she's a lot more cutthroat than he is.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, but, I agree. And in terms of who's, I think, is going to go home first, I think Jackie, perhaps. Yes. We'll see.
We will see. Another thing that happened on The Amazing Race, which was kind of a weird thing, which didn't really get explained. It was always kind of fishy. So there is another team, Tyler and Laura, who are another blind date team. Jeff and Jackie, in one of the legs of the race, they accidentally took the other team's car. Or I don't know how they did this. So it was like you get these cars in The Amazing Race. Tyler and Laura left their fanny pack in a car. Jeff and Jackie got that car. They found it, drove it to the challenge, and then when they got there, Tyler and Laura went in their car to go look for the fanny pack, and the fanny pack was like hidden underneath the seat. And it was always sort of speculated about, what did they hide the other team's fanny pack, which had like their stuff, so that they couldn't compete in the race? And Tyler and Laura seemed to allege that they did. Jeff and Jackie said that they didn't, but you'll hear in the exit interview. I asked them about this.
Interesting. So, okay. I like that. If they're willing to do that, I mean, that sounds like, I mean, based on them, they're just first impressions, that seems like something Jackie probably pushed more than Jeff, but,
we don't know.
I mean, hey, whatever you need to do to get an advantage, an amazing race, you're not voting people out. You just need to do whatever it takes to win. So, hey, nice move. I like it.
Yeah. We have synergy on Rob as a podcast. Adam Bradford wants to say, chances of an Under the Dome takeover with Hank from Breaking Bad comparing the house to a dome.
I think anything's possible this season.
I'm just waiting for the briefcase takeover. That's what I would like to see.
Oh, briefcase takeover. That would be good. Okay, this is from Mary Duda, 444, Jeff and Jackie. Again, why not Natalie and Nadia? Wasted opportunity.
I tweeted the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going, you know, why these people? Even the people that watch The Amazing Race have said, why these people, and why are you separating them from the other 14 contestants? There just doesn't seem to be a lot to it. It's just, I don't know. It's just, nothing makes sense this season on Big Brother. What do you want from me, people? Yeah.
Oh my God, you fool.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense that they treated Jeff and Jackie like they were this big deal. And with all due respect to Jeff and Jackie, they're just not. They're just like average Amazing Race contestants. There was nothing that was, you know, unique or special about them. I mean, they made it halfway on the Amazing Race. It wasn't even like they got all the way to the end. Like, I think they came in like, I don't know, sixth or seventh on the Amazing Race. Like, they were not that close to even winning the Amazing Race.
Yeah. It makes zero sense. I don't know. I mean, it seems like Jackie's bringing something to the table, so I guess that's good. But I mean, I don't know. Like, why not bring back like Tim and Marie, someone like that? Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know. And maybe, you know, Lynn Spillman and Robin Cass, they know way more about this than any of us will ever know. And maybe there's things that they know about Jackie or Jeff that we just have no idea about. We never got to see on the Amazing Race, but I don't know. It's weird. It is weird.
Well, the thing that worries me is if they brought them in because of Jackie and Jeff is sort of the plus one, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed, because I feel like Jackie's the one who's going to go home first, and we're going to, you know, Jeff, I feel like has the ability to bro down, you know, once Jackie's gone, especially, and sort of blend in with these other guys, where I don't ever think that Jackie has the ability to blend in with the girls.
Yeah, but she's going to be the one that's going to blend in with the guys.
Well, I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah. She's going to make her move. She's going to make move, and it's either going to work or it's going to not work.
Okay. All right.
And I hope it works.
Okay. Well, me too. She seems like good television. We like good TV.
Yeah.
Oh, love good TV.
Okay. Let's take another couple of questions. This is from Film TV Nerd. Rob, there is a puma, a cheetah, twins, and Meg. What are the chances Steve loses his virginity this summer? Not great. Not great. I think that's, I don't think they're going to be, I don't think that we're going to be hearing.
30 seconds. I believe.
Lesson longer than that.
No, I don't think so.
I believe in you, Steve. I believe.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's something he wants. I mean, I would say if he wanted that, I think that it could happen, but I don't, or maybe it could happen. Look, it's crazier things have happened, right? Somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's what he's interested in, and I don't want to force anything on him.
Absolutely.
Okay. Taryn Armstrong. Great live feed correspondent says, can we talk about Liz ending a relationship so she can showman someone? Seems awfully eager since she'll have to share him with a twin. Yes. Did we found out that the great Liz decided to leave her bae home? She said, I don't
love you, bae.
Yeah, I don't love you, bae.
Yeah, I heard that. I instantly thought of you the minute that she said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but wait, hey, you guys heard Jace left his bae at home too, right? So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. Like,
Jordan, did you leave bae at home before you went to go do Big Brother Canada?
Sadly, believe it or not, I did not have a bae to leave at home before Big Brother Canada. So, I left my bae after Big Brother Canada, Cindy with an S. So now I'm lonely again. So it's a great life I live.
Yeah. Now you always want to leave bae before you go on to the Big Brother house, because how are you supposed to be single and ready to mingle if you have bae?
Yeah, you can't. You have to go. I mean, that's the move. You got to go in single. I know, like, because it's just way too hard being, I mean, it's hard enough being in there away from your family and everything, but if you've got a relationship at home and they have to deal with it, I mean, it's just not worth it. So, yeah, that is the move.
Yeah.
Nicely done by Liz.
Yeah. You don't bring bae to Big Brother. Except that Jeff kind of did.
Yeah, I guess Jeff did. Yeah,
this
but
Jeff kind of brought bae.
He needed to get on the show. So in that scenario, exactly. I think he had to.
Jeff's been working out too. His arms are very distracting. It's like they're almost at the point where they're too big for his body.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but he kind of looks like almost like a Lane Ellenberg from Big Brother 12 body type. Is that kind of what he is?
Brent?
Yeah, he totally reminds me of Lane. Very stocky, very just stout, and you know, looks like he's could take on a Mack truck. Yeah, totally, totally Lane.
No, he's got like the arms that are, he did not have arms like that on The Amazing Race. Either that or he had a lot of jackets on. He's got like those Dan Lembo arms.
Just like Dan Lembo twice in 1 week.
All right. This is from Carol Gillis. Says, did Phil look really uncomfortable sitting in the chair? It seemed to age him. Oh, no.
Actually, yeah. Like, to me, Phil looked a lot like he looked kind of old. Like, Phil, like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, his hair looked like it was like kind of grayer, and he just like looked like he was out of place, and it was just really odd. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Wow. I'd love to get Jess to weigh in on this. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Let's take another couple of questions. Crystal Palmer says, did you notice that the girl in the audience looked a whole lot like Liz? Was Liz's twin in the audience?
I don't know. I saw her. I thought I saw Liz's twin in the intro package for just a split second when Liz was saying goodbye to her family. Like, if you look really close to the left of the dad, it looked like her twin was right there. And she was sort of giggling. So, again, lending credence to the fact that Liz is the likely one with the twin.
Okay.
I think it's probably her.
This is from Jimmy. Jimmy says, Julie looked so surprised when Phil said two Amazing Race competitors were entering the house. It's funny.
Come on.
Because she has known for weeks now on a scale of 1 to 10. What would you rate her fake surprise face? Oh, boy. I guess fake surprise face being what? I know that 10 is Danielle Murphy. What is 1?
Oh, gosh.
So 10 is Danielle Murphy. Like 8.5 is Jordan Parhar. And then 1 is... Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know. I guess I'd give it like a 3 or 4.
Yeah, it almost seemed to me the narrative.
Terrible.
Yeah, the narrative of what was going on in the storyline between Julie Chen and Phil, and somewhere Jeff Probst was feeling very left out. Like he was like not on the group text between Julie and Phil, but it seemed like the storyline was that they showed this package of Jordan not knowing anything, Brenchel crying, Brenchel whining, and Phil was like, you know, we've been very blessed to have these Big Brother people that you find on my show. So I'm going to stick you with 2 of our problems for the summer as payback for what you've done to me. You've made me sit through Brenchel and Gijo. So now you're going to get Jeff
and Jackie?
Jeff Key? Jack F?
Jack F.
Watch it, Rob.
Jeff Key.
Jeff Key. Yeah, no, it's like, that's exactly like you just read it in the exact, like you just said that in the exact same tone as Phil. He was just very like nonchalant and like, yeah, like, you know, here you go. Like you have these people and it is what it
Phil
is.
Looked,
it
was very, Phil looked very out of place. He did.
Yeah,
he did,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always out in the sun, and he was in this artificial light, artificial lighting, and just it wasn't Phil. It wasn't
on
art
a stage. Film. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just seemed like it was. Like, he had to like return the favor of like you know. So I took your shift last week, so you have to work Christmas for me now. Here, take Jeffke. We're not putting them back on the Amazing Race. They're your problem now. I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, obviously it was mandated from above. I couldn't even contain myself listening to Julie Chen act surprised over the fact that, you know, the whole time she's looking at him like, you know, well, what are you going to do? Like, it's, you know, you're here now. What have you decided to do with your BB takeover? And, you know, her look of surprise was just, well, you know, I was LOLing out loud, you know.
All right. Nick Duess says, what would an RHAP BB takeover look like? Looks like would look like something that would never happen. But if there was, I think we would have.
Get ready for a takeover!
Oh! Oh! Can we get the cast of Reality Game Masters?
House guests, it's me. Yes, Rob Cesternino. Rob Cesternino, yes. Not Boston Rob. Rob Cesternino was on Survivor, and now I have a podcast, and now this week we're gonna make you guys all have to podcast on the live feeds like Jordan Parhar, so that everybody gets annoyed. How about that? That's take over. All right, I'll be back. I'll be back. What do you think of that?
I went back and I actually saw some tweets, and yeah, people were tweeting Rob during the season, being like, thanks for ruining the live feeds. Jordan is so annoying. So sorry about anybody out there.
I think I said that a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't see anything from you, Brent, but if you did, it's all good. I did it quite a bit. So, and
I think I said it on the show.
So, yeah. And I haven't listened to that episode yet. So it's all good. It's water under the bridge.
Okay. Jimmy Whitcomb says, will this season be another male dominated season? Hard to tell, right?
Hard to tell. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You never know until they get into a room together and decide to make an alliance. I'm hoping that the women actually do something this season, but you know, you never know. I will say that it's good that Jason is the first head of household, because in his pregame, he said that he wanted to work with the women. He wanted to target the guys. So it's possible that some guys go up on the block. Although, like I said, with the Battle of the Block twist, that sort of neuters his power.
Brent, were you surprised at how little Audrey was in the show tonight?
I really was. I expected it to be a bigger deal, but maybe that says more about America and where we are, that it wasn't such a big deal, Rob. I mean, I love the fact that they were just, a lot of the people were very nonplussed by it. So it was like, oh, she's transgender. That's cool.
But outside of the transgender storyline, like, we really didn't hear her react to anything else. Is it possible that Audrey is not good TV? Is it possible that she's bad in the diary room?
Possible. She does tend to repeat herself. Boy, if she said a charming little town in wherever the hell she's from one more time, I was going to flip. Yeah, she said it in every interview, and she said it on the show twice. Like, shut up about this charming little town. So, no, I don't. It's possible she's bad TV, but she didn't seem like it during her interviews. So.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just the case that we have someone like Dave Vaughn, who's dynamite in the diary room. We have Johnny Mack, who's great in the diary room. And then we have these new people who we haven't seen yet, right? So
Jackie,
I think, giving them fair due and giving them, this is night two of the premiere. It's giving them a chance to, you know, shine a little bit. So I don't necessarily think it has to do with Audrey being bad in the diary room. I think it's just a case of giving other people a fair shot.
Okay. Let's take one more question here tonight. This is from Ryan Hilliard. Jordan, you did a BB17 draft with Godfrey and Neha. Do you stand by the house guests you chose in the draft? Of course, this was on Reality TV Wrap-Ups on Sunday night. Jordan drafted teams with Godfrey and Neha. Do you stand by your picks? And I guess if you're going to say that you stand by them, I'm not going to worry about spoiling it. So who did you have?
Okay, so in my draft, I have Vanessa, I have Jace, I have Dave Vaughn, I have Becky, and I have Audrey. So I actually like my team. I think that, you know, again, this is a cast that I feel like There's a lot of high variance with these house guests. Certain people, I mean, there's so many different scenarios. There's no real clear front runner. I mean, for me, I felt like Vanessa was somebody who was a favorite early on. I think she's going to go deep in the game. But other than that, I think that they could go on anyway. But so far, I like my pick so far. I mean, the Jace pick scares me a little bit just based on how he did tonight and last night. But other than that, I'm liking him so far.
All right. So we got a lot coming up here. Again, if this, you're listening to the audio version of this, I'm going to play my exit interview with Jeff and Jackie coming up right after this. We have got a special emergency podcast coming in the morning after we find out the Big Brother live feeds are going to be turning on in just over an hour. I expect Twitter to be exploding. Last year, it was very fun when everybody, they turned the live feeds on, everybody was crazy. People were streaking. All sorts of fun stuff. If you want to get in on the live feeds, I'm not embellishing, Brent. Am I embellishing this?
No. It was great. No, and I love it that Big Brother announces to the house guests, okay, we're going to turn on the live feeds now. And everyone's like, hi, America. Yeah, and they do crazy things. Like, it's very fun.
Yeah. Robiswebsite.com/live feeds. I think you could try out for a week for free. If you're going to play around with it, I think this is the week to jump in there and then check it out. And if you find out that the live feeds aren't for you or if the house guests are boring, you could always cancel. robiswebsite.com/live feeds. And for the bingo cards, robiswebsite.com/bingo. So emergency podcast audio only coming in the morning. And then on Friday, Jordan Parhar will be live for Big Brother Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Are you ready? Are you nervous?
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so excited. It's going to be a great time. As we mentioned earlier, I did a lot of podcasts in the house. So I'm excited to get my actual official podcast under the RHAP umbrella going. So I'm going to be joined by, as I mentioned, the great Johnny Calatrulio. So we're going to have a great time. Super excited. Going to be talking about what's happening on the live feed. So we definitely would love it if you guys would tune in and check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at Jordan Parhar. If you don't want to make sure you don't miss a link to any of the podcasts he's doing this summer. And then Brent is going to be with us every Thursday. He'll be back next week with Ian Terry for the first live eviction. He is at One Lucky Gay, and spell that out. No number one.
Yes.
O-N-E.
Exactly. It's like One Lucky Guy, One Lucky Gay. O-N-E Lucky Gay.
All right. And I'm at Rob Cisternino. Hope you guys will be following us all season long for all of this Big Brother coverage that we're going to do. Got to do a hashtag. I know people are saying in the chat room they want ejaculating UFOs. No, we're not going to talk about that. I bet that's nobody's used that hashtag before. That might be a dangerous search, but I bet nobody's ever used that before. But I would like to go with a new hashtag. I'm very excited about Liz. I'm excited that she left her bay. I'm excited that she could be part of the twin twist. Let's call this hashtag for tonight's episode Project DN Bay. Okay? This is Project DN Bay is the hashtag
like
for
it.
Tonight's episode. So you made it to the end. You want to tell us anything about the show? Project DN Bay. And we talked live feeds. We'll be back everything Sunday night. I will be live to talk about the episode after the Sunday night version. Now, sometimes there's like sports or something on Sunday night. So just keep an eye on Twitter in case there's any sort of update for the time in which Big Brother is going to be broadcast. But as it stands right now, Big Brother is going to be on at 8 o'clock. We'll be live at 9:15. Taryn Armstrong will be with me to go over the live feeds. We're going to go through all of the alliances in the house and everything that's happened over the weekend. And we will start our official first full week of Big Brother coverage. And one other thing. One other thing I want to announce.
Get ready for a takeover.
Oh, no. Takeover. So I had announced that this season we're going to be doing a Big Brother voicemail podcast as well. Just like we do on Survivor, we do a big recap and then we do the voicemails from the listeners. We're going to start doing a Big Brother voicemail show every week. I'm going to record that on Mondays after the veto ceremony happens in the house. So we'll have a good sense of what's going to happen for the week and I'll have a guest on to answer your voicemail. So I'm very excited that the great Big Brother reporter, Miss Cleo, will be our first guest on the Big Brother voicemail show. That's going to be an audio-only show. Going to record that on Monday. So if you want to get your voicemails into us over the weekend, you don't need to do it right now. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. We have so much fun on the voicemails for Survivor, and I've always wanted to do it for Big Brother. So we're going to attempt it this year for the Big Brother voicemail show. That's going to be an audio-only podcast, which is going to drop on probably Monday night, Tuesday mornings. Okay? All right, and coming up next, we are going to listen to our exit interview with Jeff and Jackie from April. But first, Julie had to wait to get one in. I got one in here. But first, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, and those are our friends over at Credit Karma. It's a new sponsor that we have here on the podcast who want to make sure you know what is going on with your credit score, because what's your most important number in your life? It's not your age. It's not your IQ. It would be that credit score, because it has a huge impact on your finances and what you might pay for credit card interest, home and auto loans, and student debts. Credit Karma offers free credit scores, reports, and monitoring, along with handy financial tools to help you make sense of your credit. Credit Karma has an app, so you don't even need your computer to check your credit score. I know for a lot of people, checking your credit score isn't really top of mind, but Credit Karma provides free credit monitoring alerts, so when something fishy comes up, you can check your report and see it's legit. Recently, it's been reported that 25% of the people in the U.S. have errors on their credit reports, and now that if you have Credit Karma, you can check those reports whenever you want to make sure everything's on the up and up. It's your credit score, and it's crucial to know what the credit score is and how it works. So don't pay for your credit score. With Credit Karma, you could see your credit score right now absolutely free. Just text RHAP to 89800 to download the free Credit Karma app and get started. You'll get free tips and suggestions to help you manage your credit, free credit monitoring, and free alerts when your score changes. Text that to 89800. Don't let the day end without seeing your credit score. Thanks to Credit Karma, you get it for free. Text RHAP to 89800 to download the free app so you can see what might be the most important number of your life. And speaking of the most important things of your life, it's time to hear my exit interview from Amazing Race 26 with Jeff and Jackie from April 2015.
Rob.
Jeff and Jackie, how are you?
Hi.
Wonderful.
Good. Yay, so nice to meet you. We've been watching the whole podcast.
We're a huge fan of the podcast. We think you're hilarious. So.
Nice to talk to both of you. Yes, Jackie, I just want to let you know that I am recording this podcast as we speak, that I am in your adopted hometown of Las Vegas.
Yay!
Yes, and I'm outside, and I'm at the New Media Expo, and at some point we may have to hold if the monorail goes over my head, okay?
Okay. I know exactly where you're at. Okay.
All right, great. So let's get into this. And I think the first question that I have to ask you that I just told somebody I was going to go talk to you, and they said, find out if she really gave him her phone number. Jackie, did you really give Jeff your number, or was it one of these times when you give a fake number to a guy?
Well, I'm on the phone with him now. So.
Yeah, but CBS has his number. They conference you guys in.
Yeah, well, I gave him my number.
Yes. All right.
And Rob, to kind of chime in, kind of support that, she's sitting in my condo right now in Tampa.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, I saw pictures of you guys posted on Instagram that you were at the beach or whatever. So is this a romantic relationship? And let me start by asking this question to Jackie.
Yay. Okay. So Jeff and I know it would be such a good story, right? But unfortunately, we are not dating due to, long distance. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work, but we are great, great friends. We wanted to make an effort to come out and watch this episode together. We knew it was coming. And, we're just really good friends. I gave him my number. I kept my word. Let's say,
Jackie,
I just thought it was cute because we didn't have phones the whole time.
If Jeff lived in your city, would this be a romantic relationship? Is the only thing stopping this relationship from happening geography?
I would have loved to give it a try if Jeff lives in Las Vegas.
Jeff,
absolutely.
Will
I come to Las Vegas? Unfortunately, Las Vegas doesn't have much for me yet. I do sales for a living.
It has Jackie.
More now.
What?
Oh, God.
It has Jackie.
Jackie's going to kill me for saying this, but no, I do not want to go to Las Vegas. But, the geography thing really...
you know, creates issues with that aspect.
All right, all right. Well,
or trying to develop a relationship.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about the actual race. And I think that a lot of people were surprised that you guys ended up going home because it didn't seem like you guys were running into too much trouble in the episode. What was the reason why you guys ended up being last?
Well, I mean, it literally just came down to getting lost. And I think that all the other teams got lost as well. We just got the most lost. And that's really it. I think we killed the challenges. We had no idea until we watched the episode that when we got done with the tightrope challenge that we were actually in third at that point. We thought we were probably in last. And so that was kind of an interesting component to see.
Yeah. It did seem like everybody was so bunched up that it was really, you know, you guys were in last place, but I wouldn't be surprised if you were not that far behind first place. Do you know what the gap was between you and the other teams?
Unfortunately, that information isn't really disclosed. I think roughly around 20 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
You know, after coming in from, after Laura and Tyler, I think were right before us. But yeah, it was very close. Watching it was pretty epic. It was very, very close, you know.
I think that this was the one leg that there was no margin for error.
Yeah.
And I think, just like you said, Rob, this was a very, very, very close race. This is probably the, as far as being bunched up, I think the most bunched up leg of this season so far.
Yeah, it was very tight. Now, all right, I want to talk about the incident from last week. And, you know, everybody has their low moments. And I know that if I was racing with my wife, that we would have no shortage of these moments. But I want to talk about the altercation that you guys had in the car from last week. Now that we've had enough time to sort of look back at it, Jackie, was Jeff wrong? Were you right and Jeff was wrong?
You know, when you're in a fight, it's hard to say who's right and wrong, especially when you get extremely heated that way.
But you could say it now.
I know. I want to say I'm right, of course.
Yeah, we can be honest.
That he shouldn't have done, but I said things too that I shouldn't have said. So it sucked, and it was, you know, hard to watch there, especially because, you know, Jeff's such a great guy, and you don't want that to happen. But, you know, luckily we got it out of our systems, and we moved on, and we actually had a great leg.
Yeah, and Jeff, what do you think about that? Do you still maintain that you were right in that moment?
You know, I don't think that I was right. I actually think that I instigated Jackie a little bit, and I think I was being kind of abrupt and short with her.
Yes.
And so I think that I kind of had what I had coming, and I think that just due to the stresses of the leg, I think that it was inevitable. However, I think how Jackie and I handled it, we screamed at each other, but I think we actually needed to do that so we can regain focus and get the job done, which we did.
Do you think that that's sort of a necessary thing for these blind date teams? Because, you know, the blind date team started out good. And then, you know, everybody's on their best behavior because it's a first impression. Whereas a lot of the couples sort of bickered for the first couple of weeks. But then do you think the blind date teams all need to just have it out and get it out of their system, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. I think that just holding each other accountable. And I think that there's a lot to be said when, you know, you're with somebody 24/7 and you're having to deal with an incredible amount of stress. And I think that it's only healthy to kind of lash out every now and then and get your point across. I think that to bottle it up and make snide remarks the entire race is just, it's counterproductive. And you kind of saw it with Haley and Blair. I would hate to have to go through what they did.
You mean running the race with Haley?
Not necessarily running it with Haley, but running it with a teammate that just wants to, like, make all these snide comments and remarks instead of just having one big blow up, getting every, like, all the dirty laundry out in the air, talk about it briefly, and then just move on. And that's what Jackie and I did. You know, we're not perfect. You know, we could have easily been the Haley and Blair this season, but Jackie and I wanted to communicate on a little bit more of an effective level and have our, you know, disagreements, but just talk about them and move on.
And Jackie, you agree with that? That's a good thing for an amazing race team to get into a big blow up.
I mean,
if you can survive, unfortunately.
Jeff and I had started to get to know each other at that point. So I think we both knew we could do that and move on. So it was okay with Jeff. I don't know. We just did it. I wouldn't say it's a good thing, but unfortunately, at that point in time, we just needed to get it out of our system.
Okay. All right. let's talk about this leg of the race in Monaco. And the when you guys had to go and get dressed up, were you guys excited? Jackie, how did you think that Jeff ended up looking?
Jeff looks so cute. He looks really good in a suit. I love a guy in a suit.
Not like Pee Wee Herman,
so
right?
So excited to see him. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Please.
As long, like, I think that my suit was the second worst. I think that Mike definitely had the worst suit here, but I was pretty
poor
dope.
Mike, I know you guys were so funny.
I look at Tyler, I'm like, how did he get the gray, like, sharp-looking suit? And I got a red Bozo the Clown bow tie.
Yeah. Jackie, did you
think
that Jeff...
I was wearing a red dress.
Did Jeff look bougie?
Bougie.
Jeff's not the bougie kind of guy.
Yeah.
It was definitely bougie.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're not like bougie. Your personality is not
all
bougie.
Right. All right. We've had a lot of fun. Now we have to get into some real talk now. Okay. So last week you guys got into the Ford and you found a fanny pack. All right, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And so hold on, monorail. All right. So the fanny pack that you guys found, you had to have known whose fanny pack it was. Jeff, did you hide the fanny pack so that Tyler and Laura would not find it?
Absolutely not, and this is why. The fanny pack...
Jeff, go ahead and explain the story.
Yeah, so the fanny pack, first of all, we got in the car, we weren't even going to take it because we're like, holy crap, this is somebody's car. And then we opened the fanny pack, we're like, okay, it's Tyler and Laura's. Where are they? Why is it in here? And then we're like,
the car crashed on the curb.
Yeah, the car was crashed on the curb, by the way. So we're like, okay, this is a really awkward situation. Fanny pack in the car. The car is literally parked up on a curb. So it was driven at one point. We're like, what happened here? And for us, it's not like we were trying to be deceptive and, oh, let's hide it from them. Because if that were the case, we would have put it in the trunk and just kind of forgot about it. Or threw it out the window. I don't know. But... We picked it up, we put it back down where we found it, and we just drove the vehicle. You know, would I have purposely hit it? I think that Jackie and I kind of got veered off the wrong path, and we weren't really thinking about that because we were screaming at each other.
Yeah. Now, Jackie, weren't you confronted about this?
But to elaborate, going back, I probably would have thrown in the truck.
But Jackie, when Tyler and Laura got there, didn't you tell them you didn't know there was a fanny pack in the car?
Yep.
and it was that strategy?
There's a reason, so to set the story straight, the reason why I said I did not know that it was in there was because the lake before in Bangkok, which you guys didn't see, unfortunately, on the show, they did lie to us first. And we were looking for a clue box at the shrine before we went to the detour. That's why we couldn't do the egg challenge. But they lied to us. We asked them if the clue box was upstairs. And Tyler said to Jeff, no. So I didn't feel bad when I said, oh, I don't know. You know,
okay.
we didn't hide it. We didn't lock the car. We didn't throw it out the window.
But there wasn't full disclosure.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeff and Jackie, thank you so much for coming on with us. I really appreciate it. Jackie, do you have a recommendation for me while I'm in Vegas?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, nightlife or...
What nightlife do I have?
Well, you can go where I work. I work over at Hawker Sonic at MGM. I would definitely check that out.
Okay. All right. Well,
if you're putting clubs, though, it's definitely overwhelming.
Okay. Yeah, that's overwhelming. Any Starbucks is overwhelming to me.
Yeah, then go to
Hawker Sonic. Okay. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you too. Maybe one day you guys will maybe realize that true love was right in front of your eyes.
Maybe one day.
All right. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
Aww. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jeff and Jackie on the podcast and me in Las Vegas, which is the home of Jackie because that is where she works. So she was billed as a showgirl on The Amazing Race. That's not really how they're talking about her here on Big Brother 17. So lots to do. I can't wait. Going to talk about the live feeds in the morning. Very excited to get into it with Alex Kidwell. That should be a lot of fun. And then we'll be back on Sunday night to talk about everything that happens over the weekend here on the Big Brother Wrap Up on Rob Has a Podcast. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.